Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the psalm that we read a little earlier, Psalm 28. It's found in the Pew Bibles on page 460. Psalm 28 on page 460. I began preaching this psalm a couple of weeks ago when I was last in this pulpit. And last time we looked at verses 1 to 5, and this morning I want to look specifically at the second half of this psalm, verses 6 to 9. You notice that the psalm divides up very naturally into two parts. In the early part, David is praying. He is in trouble, he is in distress. And he's crying out to God and saying to God, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help." He's obviously in distress and he's crying out to God for help. But then when you look at verse 6, when you look at verse 6, you notice that there's a complete change in the tone of this psalm. He's no longer now crying out to God for help. He's no longer now saying to the Lord, "I'm in distress, I'm in trouble, I'm in difficulty, I need help." That's not the tone of those last few verses. In fact, the first line of verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him." Do you know there is a tremendous encouragement here for God's people? Before we actually look at the verses, let me just throw this out as a tremendous encouragement. God answers prayer. If you ever wanted evidence from God's word, and there is evidence everywhere in God's word, but if you ever wanted evidence in God's word that God answers prayer, here in this one psalm, you've got it. Because the first part of the psalm is pleas. It is cries for mercy. It is cries for help. You notice that the language of the first half, a lot of it is repeated in the second half. He says in verse 2, "Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy." And then look at verse 6, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy," you see. And he's saying to the Lord, "Protect me. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts." He says, "I'm under attack from these people. Protect me," he says. And then look at verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed." So if you ever wanted evidence from God's word that God answers prayer, here you've got it in this psalm. Friends, never give up on prayer. The devil will attack your prayer life more than anything else, because the devil knows that one saint on his or her knees is more powerful than thousands of Christians who are careless in prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest gifts God has given to us. And the devil will attack our prayer life. And the devil will discourage us. Discouragement is his greatest weapon. And he will discourage you from praying. And he will say to you, "What is the point in praying? God isn't answering your prayer. What is the point in praying? God isn't even hearing your prayer. You've prayed this prayer every day for year after year after year. You've prayed for that person whom you want to be saved. You've prayed for that situation where you want to see a change. And you see nothing. What is the point in prayer?" And the devil will discourage you. Do not allow him to discourage you. Once you're discouraged and your prayer life becomes weak, we're actually a defeated people. But once we take hold of God in prayer and we bring our prayers to Him diligently, we will be a strong body. We may be small, but we will be strong. Do not become discouraged and do not give up on prayer. Now, this morning I want to look specifically at verses 6 and 7. And I want to encourage you. This is my purpose this morning in this psalm. These verses are encouraging verses. They were written to lift God's people. They were written to encourage us in our praying. They were written to encourage us in our Christian lives. So I want to encourage you to pray. I want to encourage you to give yourself diligently to pray. And verses 6 and 7, we have encouragement from God. There are three things there that I want to bring to your attention this morning. Why should you persist in prayer? You've been praying for somebody to get saved. And perhaps you've prayed every day for many years now. Or there's a specific situation in your family or in your personal life. Or you've been praying for this nation because the needs of this country, they weigh upon your heart. Or you've been praying for another country. You've been praying for friends abroad because you know there are difficulties there. Why should you persist in prayer? Why should you every day when you wake up take hold of your prayer book and go through that list, not just as a shopping list, but come genuinely before God with heartfelt prayer and bring those prayers? Why should you do that? Well, I have three reasons for you in verses 6 to 7. And the first is this: God listens diligently to the prayers of His people. God listens diligently to the prayers of His people. Will you look at verse 6 and notice very carefully the wording of verse 6? It's a very unusual wording that we find there. He says, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy." Do you notice David doesn't say, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has heard my pleas for mercy." He says He has heard the voice of my plea for mercy. You see that? He has heard the voice of my plea for mercy. Very unusual. Now, what does this mean? It's a very unusual way of saying it. And I think what he's saying here is that when we come to God in prayer, God doesn't just hear the words that we speak, but God hears the tone. God hears the voice with which we speak. God hears the heart that is speaking. Because our words express the state of our heart. There are times when we come to God in prayer and our hearts are in despair. And we speak words to God, and yes, God hears those words, but God also hears the despair of the heart. You see, God isn't so busy that He says to us, yeah, I know you've come to pray, now come on, get on with it quickly, because I've got so many other children praying, and I've got so many other things to do, come on, get on with it. That is not how God is in prayer. When we come before God in prayer, we have His 100% attention. God is not like man. I can only listen to one person. At the end of this service, I will want to talk to various people. And I can only talk to one person at a time. I can't have seven of you, eight of you in a circle, and all of you sharing what sort of week you've had, and how things are with you, and how I can pray for you this week, and if there's any help I can give you. If seven or eight of you start talking to me, well, I shut down. I can't do that. But we are human beings. But God has billions of children. He has children here on earth. He has children there in heaven. And his children in heaven are expressing praise and worship and adoration and love to him. And each one is important. He loves to hear the praise and the worship and the adoration that his children who are in heaven are expressing to him. These things are important to him, and he gives attention to every one of them, every one of them. And then he has children throughout the whole earth. Every country in the world, in some countries very small numbers, in other countries large numbers, but he has children all over the world. And every minute of every day, God's children are speaking to him. There are Christians at some place in the world who are praying to God every minute of every day. And God listens to every one of them. Every one of them has 100% attention from God. And God doesn't just listen to the words that are spoken, but God listens to the heart that is speaking. Where there is despair in the heart, God hears that despair. Where there is frustration, perhaps you come to him in prayer because you're now an elderly person and you're no longer able to do the things that you used to do. The body is no longer physically able. There are now limitations. And you feel frustrated. That's perfectly understandable. And so sometimes you go to God in prayer and there is frustration and you think, well, Lord, I wanted to do this. I used to be able to do this. I enjoyed doing it. And because of my age and bodily limitations, I can no longer do it. He hears that frustration. Perhaps you come to him in prayer and your heart is confused and bewildered because things have happened that just make no sense. You look at your life, you look at what's happening, or you look at the nation, you look at people in your family, and think, what is going on here? Perhaps there are issues with your children. What is going on here? I just do not understand this. And when you come to God, there's confusion, there's bewilderment. Well, God hears that. He doesn't just hear your words. He hears that bewilderment. And perhaps when you come to God other times, there is defeat in your heart. We sometimes feel defeated as Christians. And you just feel, I just feel so low and so discouraged and so depressed. I just feel so defeated by all the issues of life. And you feel depressed. And God hears that depressed heart and the words that are uttered. He hears the voice of the plea for mercy. You see what David says there? You notice in verse 2 he says this. He says, hear the voice of my plea. Hear the tone behind it. Look at my heart, Lord. Don't just hear my words. Look at my heart. Look at the despair that there is in my heart. Look at the bewilderment that there is in my heart. Look at the frustration that there is in my heart. Hear, Lord, the voice of my plea. And then he says in verse 6, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my plea. He has heard my heart. Do you know in the Bible, you will never find anywhere God condemning a person for praying. Never see that. A person may pray out of anger. God won't condemn it. A person may pray out of despair and depression. God won't condemn it. God has never condemned a person for coming to him in prayer. The only prayer that God doesn't like is a proud, arrogant prayer. It's the person who says, I'm better than others and I'm worthy to come into your presence because of my works. That prayer is unacceptable. But when we come to God trusting him, and whatever feelings that there are in our hearts, defeat, frustration, despair, whatever, God listens. He listens diligently. He reads between the lines. He looks at the heart. God listens diligently to your prayer. Now, if that isn't encouragement to pray, I don't know what is. If that doesn't move us to pray, I think we might as well give up, quite frankly. Because surely this is what we want to hear, isn't it? We want to hear that we have a God in heaven whose heart is filled with love and mercy towards us. We want to hear that our God in heaven is able to hear every one of his billions of children. We want to hear that God in heaven is able to give 100% attention to every one of his children who comes. And he's able not only to hear their words, but he's able to hear the voice in their hearts, the state of the heart that prayer underlines. He hears all of that. Well, surely, friends, whatever we feel, however bewildered, frustrated, defeated, despair we feel, we must surely come to God in prayer. Do you have troubles in your Christian life? Come to God in prayer. Lay hold of God. Do what David does. He's in trouble. He comes to God and he says, I want to bring my prayers to you. Please listen. Listen to my words and listen to the plea, to the voice of my plea. So the first reason why we should give ourselves to prayer daily is because God listens diligently to the prayers of his people. And then there's a second reason in these verses why we must give ourselves daily to prayer. And it is this: it is because God is the strength of his people. I'm only reading what's there in the Bible and expounding it for you. Look at what he says in verses 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my plea for mercy. And the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. We are weak. If you ever have this idea that you as a Christian, you're a strong person. If you have this idea that my faith is strong, my knowledge of the Bible is good, I have a good grasp of theology, I have a good walk with the Lord, and I have a record of service to the Lord, oh, I can get through in the Christian life, and I know I can make it. If that is your attitude, you're heading for a massive defeat. We are all weak. And the challenges that life throws at us, we in and of ourselves do not have the resources to meet that challenge. Please do not say to yourself, whatever comes my way, I will be able to take it. You can't. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. Not some things. Without me, you can do nothing. And the saints of God who have been godly, who have had the finest walk with the Lord and the best prayer life and have been most effective are the ones who've known this. It is those who know their weakness and their utter dependence upon God. Are you facing a difficult situation in your life today? Is there a situation in your family life to do with your children or to do with your parents? Is there a situation to do with your work? And it just is hugely difficult. You look at this situation and you think to yourself, I've got to go to work tomorrow. And this intractable problem that's sitting on my desk, this issue that's there, or I'm going to go home after church today, and that family issue with my children or with my parents or with other members of the family, that is there. What do I do with this? How on earth do I cope with this? Well, you see what David does. He has faced, we saw this last time we were looking at verses 1 to 5. He has faced a very difficult situation. And he says in those opening verses of the psalm, to you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Now a rock, of course, is a symbol of strength. You know, we say to somebody, don't we, you've been a rock to me. You've been a strength to me to cling on. You've been somebody that I can hang on to in my difficult times. Well, David says to the Lord, you are my rock. And then his testimony when God has heard his prayer. He says in verse 7, the Lord is my strength. And verse 8, the Lord is the strength of his people. Are you facing challenging times? I say to you, go to God and ask for resources. We have resources in God that we are rarely aware of, you know. God has resources available for us. We rarely ask for them. We rarely use them. Ask God for resources. Ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Ask him to send you help from heaven. Ask him to work in that particular situation. There are people who are making decisions, and those decisions affect you. Well, ask God to guide them in their decision. They may not be Christians. It doesn't matter. Bring that situation to God and say, look, this situation is there, and these people are here, and they're creating issues for me. Will you please, Lord, move in their hearts, and will you please, Lord, bring about a decision that is good for me and a blessing to me? Ask God, because God is the strength of his people. God is sovereign. God rules the universe. God rules every heart, unbelievers and believers. God is in control of everything. There is nothing beyond God's control. There is no human heart that is beyond God's control. No one can say, well, I can do what I want and God cannot touch me. There is no such being. God rules all things. God controls all things. God reigns over all things. And God works for the good of his people. You find yourself in a difficult situation. Come to God and ask him for strength, for resources, so that you don't cave in, you don't give up, you don't become bitter and angry and lose your faith. But you trust in the Lord because he is the strength of his people. So why should we give ourselves to prayer? Well, firstly, because God diligently listens to the prayers of his people. And secondly, because God strengthens his people. And thirdly and finally, we come to God in prayer because God protects his people. Because God protects his people. You notice that verses 7 and 8, there is this symphony there. He says in verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. And then verse 8, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. He's applying it to himself, and then he's applying it to all of God's people. Do you know, friends, this world is a hugely dangerous place for God's people. We're in a world where enemies surround us. There is a devil. There is a being called the devil. Do not ever underestimate his power. There are agents of Satan who are at work. There is the kingdom of Satan that opposes God's kingdom and God's people. And Satan and his kingdom is out to destroy God and God's people. They can't destroy God, but they seek to destroy God's people. We are always facing opposition. And in and of ourselves, we have no resources. And David knew that. Now, David was a great man. David was a mighty warrior. David was the king of Israel. David was the commander of the armies of Israel. David was a skilled soldier. David had killed Goliath. He was a skilled fighter. But even David knows, I do not have the resources in and of myself to stand against those who are against me. You notice his prayer in verse 3. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their heart. He knows there are these enemies. And he doesn't say, I can fight them. I mean, I killed Goliath, you know. And I've led the armies of Israel into battle. And we've won battle after battle. I'm a skilled soldier. I'm a skilled commander. I mean, I can do this. He doesn't say that to himself, you see. He says to God, protect me, because my enemies are many and powerful. And then in his giving thanks to God for the answer, he says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He's the one who strengthens me in my trials. He's the one who shields me and gives me refuge in the face of opposition. And verse 8, he applies it to all of us. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Anointed here means his chosen people, his covenant people, all who belong to him. He is the refuge of his people. Isn't it wonderful? If that verse 8 hadn't been there, we might have said, well, of course, that applies to David. I mean, God was the strength of David. And God was the shield of David. David had a special relationship with God. And so God had this particular ministry to him. It applies to him. But you see, David won't let us get away with that. He applies it to all of us. And he says, the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his chosen people. Friends, prayer is the greatest gift God has given to us as saved people. And the devil will rob you of your prayer life. He will discourage you. And I want to encourage you, do not give up on prayer. We have a God in heaven who diligently hears the prayers of his people. We have a God in heaven who strengthens his people and gives them the resources to stand when they're under pressure. And we have a God in heaven who protects his people from their enemies. Do not give up on prayer, but give yourself to prayer.